This is the Patriots All 22 podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider for the six-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Welcome into a new edition of the Patriots All 22 podcast powered by the CLNS Media Podcast Network. I am Evan Lazar, joined as always by Adam Kirchen, and we have a guest with us today. It is Eric Turner from Cover One, The Athletic Buffalo. Go follow him on Twitter at @cover_1_Eric, is that right?
Yeah, yes, @cover_1_
There, nailed it. He does an excellent job of breaking down the Buffalo Bills, which is why we've obviously called upon him today. I am doing this podcast from my car, which I'd like to say makes it officially known that it is football season when I start doing podcasts from the Gillette Stadium parking lot in my car. But Eric, we are really excited to have you on today and to talk some Bills and Patriots.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys. I know we had met last year and kind of did this podcast, and it was probably one of my favorite podcasts because we got to talk a lot about X's and O's about the matchup. Unfortunately, obviously, the big brother, the Patriots, handed us a couple losses last year, but I don't think that's a surprise to Patriots or Bills fans. But hoping this week, the tides have turned maybe at home. We got a few wins on each side, so I'm excited, though. It's going to be a good matchup.
Yeah, I saw a Bleacher Report article yesterday, I think it was, saying that maybe the AFC East is shifting towards Buffalo, shifting west a little bit. I don't know if we're ready for that kind of talk. But this is going to be a really good game, and we brought Eric in because he does break down film, and fans of this podcast, which I hope you all are if you're listening to it, know that we get into the weeds and the X's and O's, and Eric does the same exact thing, whether it's the Bills. I know you do some Cowboys stuff. You always do a lot of draft stuff, so yeah. We're really excited. We wanted to start with Josh Allen. Obviously, kind of the biggest storyline, I would say, surrounding the Bills, even though that Bills defense just continues to be awesome, and Josh Allen continues to be the talking point. But one thing that I noticed just looking at his numbers and looking at the tape was that he's become a much better pocket passer this year, I think, than he was last year. What are you seeing, Eric, that has led him to get to this point now?
Well, through three games right now, I mean, per Pro Football Focus, he's actually third in that, accuracy percentage, which is their adjusted completion percentage is at 81.3. So he's only behind Dak Prescott and Gardner Minshew. And I think a lot of that has to do with obviously getting him weapons that fit his skill set, obviously having a whole offseason, having him dedicate himself to football itself, not to, the combine and the draft and all that. I think he had a great offseason. He flew out a few of the receivers to work out with him in the offseason. Your typical, quarterback things that you need to do to build a rapport with, a lot of new guys on the offensive side of the ball. But I think a lot of the credit should go to the staff and putting him in a position to succeed. And primarily we've seen that in the first half in that game play script, that first 20 to 25 plays that the staff and the pro scouts work on pretty much the entire offseason. So I think a lot of that credit should go to Brian Daboll and the offensive staff, and even Ken Dorsey, the new quarterbacks coach, obviously worked with McDermott down in Carolina and worked hand in hand with Cam Newton. So I think a lot of the credit should go to the staff. And then, of course, Josh Allen, he's just getting it done. I mean, he's hitting those easy passes in the play script, and and he's hitting it on all levels. So kudos to really the offensive staff and Allen himself.
Yeah, one thing I was noticing about watching the Bills is the use of the tight ends and having two tight ends on this field at the same time, two young ones.
Yeah.
You saw that a little bit with Lamar Jackson last year, with the young quarterback being able to work the middle of the field with multiple tight ends. Is how important has that been with both Dawson Knox and Tommy Sweeney?
Oh, man. When you start off with tight end questions, man, I get excited because the Bills tight ends last year were horrible. It was really one of the weakest units on the roster, but in the league, they had trouble blocking on their run concepts. They had trouble blocking in pass scenarios. I mean, there was really nothing good to come from the tight ends on the offense side of the ball last year. So when you add young talent like Dawson Knox, Tommy Sweeney late in the draft, who, stood out in camp and got a lot of reps in camp, which is a good thing for a young player like that coming from Boston College and, that 12 personnel heavy offensive scheme. It really translated well in the summer and early on this season into this offense. Obviously, Brian Daboll actually coached One of the coaches from Boston College, Phil Troutwein. So, I mean, there was some kind of connection there. And Knox, obviously, you guys saw it on the film last week. He had a coming out party. He was dropping guys in the run blocking game. And I mean, literally, anytime he was going to block, bodies were on the ground. When he was catching balls down the field in the fourth quarter on that final drive, he was just dropping defenders there and just making them look bad. And it really propelled the Bills offense. So you throw in a veteran in that room in Lee Smith, and he's literally one of the top five run blockers in the league. And he's got that nasty element that's going to rub off on the young players at that position. So I'm excited about the future at the tight end position. As you guys know, in that EP system that Brian Daboll, you know, brought over from the Patriots and that Patriots tree, tight ends can be really important if you have those parts. And I think they have a good mix of guys that can, you know, present mismatches in the passing game, but also do the dirty work in the run game.
Yeah, there is definitely a few plays in there, and I talked to some of the Pats players about it yesterday with Dawson Knox, and they're just like, we better tackle this guy. You know, he's going to be physical and he's going to be a tough guy to bring down. I wanted to bring it back to Josh Allen just before we move on really quick. The one thing that I did see positive with him is he's throwing with much better, I thought, anticipation from the pocket and really hitting guys before they come out of their breaks and doing that kind of thing. But the one thing I did see on the negative side of things that I'm wondering if Belichick is going to see and throw at him is how he's handling blitzes. And a few times I thought the Bengals threw some slot blitzes at him, and he saw the blitz coming, but he didn't necessarily throw hot or react to it too quickly and got himself into trouble. Is that something that was just this game, or is that a kind of a trend that you're seeing throughout the first three games here?
No, that's been a trend all the way back to Wyoming. You know, those second level blitzers, those blitzers off the edge, he's always had trouble with that. Now, I will say he's got some weapons this year, you know, from the shoulders up in Cole Beasley, John Brown. Some of those receivers and weapons they brought in are better at recognizing who the hot, you know, defender is, you know, off the edge and making sight adjustments and hot, you know, hot reads. I think those guys help. But Josh Allen's still having trouble, and it's not even like they're blitzing him in those scenarios. They're still sending those creeper and simulated pressures where it looks like they're blitzing, but they're really only sending four, but they're sending that fourth guy off the edge or from the linebacker level. And as we all know, the Patriots are one of the best at doing that. And that's what does worry me this week when they, you know, scheming against Josh Allen, because he does still have trouble. And, you know, if they get him in those second and longs where, you know, they're stacking the box, they're playing that, you know, bear defense and forcing, you know, the Bills to get into second and third long situations, and then just running those creeper pressures without sacrificing the coverage on the back end, that could create problems for Josh Allen, because he doesn't want to just take that 5-yard, you know, outlet to the flats. He wants to look to the chains, and that's where he could get in trouble. Going for the home run ball all the time, just not taking the stuff underneath and getting into a more manageable third down situation.
Yeah, absolutely. There was one play early on in that Bengals game where they sent a slot blitz, and he could have just thrown hot right to the guy, you know, right at the blitz, and instead he kind of rehitched and looked over to the right sideline for that throw at the sticks that you're talking about. And he got hit as he threw the ball, I think, and the ball sailed incomplete. The other thing that I wanted to ask you before we move on here is just how has he been at getting through his first read? Because I saw a couple of times when he didn't have his first read, his instinct is still a little bit to scramble at that point, which is, I think, another thing that if you do that against the Patriots and you're not willing to stay patient and go through your progression and you're just trying to, you know, one read and take off, that can be problematic as well against a coach like Belichick.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that last year. You know, Belichick sent, you know, different contain pressures against him and almost enticed him to leave the pocket. There was one play last year in that Week 16 matchup where he sent the edge rushers inside, slanted them inside, and then he brought two defenders from the same side off the left-hand side of the screen, brought them as contain rushers. So he was enticing Allen to escape the pocket right into a contain rush. So Belichick is a genius. We all know that. He knows how to scheme against, especially these young quarterbacks. And so you mentioned that play where he, you know, Allen misread the hot route and he didn't take what was given to him. And that led to an intentional grounding play call there. And he did it later in the game, too, where the same thing happened and he escapes the pocket. And instead of just taking a sack or throwing it away on third down, he throws it to the middle of the field, trying to get the ball past the chains, past the line of scrimmage. And it gets picked off, and that's what, you know, put the Bengals back into the game. So Belichick's going to scheme him to, I think personally, to maybe roll to his left. If he is going to try to escape the pocket, I think he wants them to go left, because as we've seen every game this year, when Allen does escape the pocket to his right, he can do some really good things, and he can get those chunk plays that can keep the offensive on the field and Tom Brady off of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that you hit the nail with the pressures where they designed to kind of get him to roll out of the pocket the way that they want him to roll out of the pocket. I think that's always a big thing with Bill Belichick. All right, moving on to the next thing here. We wanted to mention Cole Beasley, who I think has really given Allen a guy that is very quick, very agile, obviously, and has the ability to separate quickly against man coverage. He's just a tough guy to cover. And I think that we've already seen it early on with the Bills that Dable is kind of using them a little bit like the Patriots would use Julian Edelman, and it seems to be working pretty well for Allen.
Yeah, and again, I mentioned that a lot of the passing game has happened in the first half, and especially when you're talking about Cole Beasley, he's that guy early on that when the Bills have put together those long, 70, 80-yard drives, he's a guy that, it's basically running those routes that are an extension of the passing game. And as you mentioned, you guys know that better than anyone in the league. So a lot of the percentage of his targets are coming in the first half, and they're in that short to almost intermediate area. But I'd say right now, I thought that, he would probably get a little more burn in the second half of games when, the Bills have really struggled in the third quarter. They're one of the worst DVOA offenses in the third quarter. And I don't think that's because of the adjustments technically that defenses are making in accordance to what the Bills are doing. I just think that the Bills, once they're out of that script, then and Allen is having a tough time of staying in rhythm coming out of the half. And so the Bills have kind of started to protect him a little bit and run the ball, but getting Beasley involved a little more in the third quarter to get Allen back in rhythm, back on track, I think could do wonders for this offense and really turn around an area that they have struggled, which is coming out of the half.
Yeah. Do you feel like Beasley is still sort of getting used to Allen and vice versa? And that might be playing into it, because, he is a new receiver for him. And it is very early in the season. And that, going off of reads and stuff like that sort of takes time.
Yeah, I mean, there's some truth to that. I think that is a factor. But I also do think just from how hard they have worked this offseason together, and you guys know when it comes to Brady and Edelman or Brady and Welker, and now Allen and Beasley, that position in this offense is not just about route running. It's actually kind of unorthodox route running and reading leverage and reading coverages and being on the same page with their quarterback. So to your point, that's absolutely true. But I think the issue with them in the second half is a lot of teams are starting to pressure Allen in the second half. And what's happening is him and Beasley aren't quite on the same page in Allen reading his body behavior. So I think that does have something to do with it, and it plays to your point. But I think a lot of that has to do with the pressure, and that's what worries me, with Allen against this Patriots defense. You guys are going to be pressing, playing aggressive on the outsides versus these weapons, and, this wide receiver crew is known as the Smurfs because they're really small, shifty, and fast. There's not much size to them, so what worries me is those, aggressive corners and physical corners and man coverage and those tight windows that are going to be there, and add in a little pressure, whether it's, blitz or just a simulated pressure. That worries me with Josh Allen and Cole Beasley, because when Beasley is disrupted during that release phase, it can really disrupt this offense.
Yeah, I think that we're all seeing some of the same things, and I'm sure Bill Belichick is seeing them too, but I wanted to talk about this offensive line for the Bills before we move over to the defensive side of the ball. The offensive line, they basically reworked almost the entire thing in the offseason to try to get some better play out of that. Obviously, signing Mitch Morse at center, which was a big move just from a leadership standpoint as well as an on-field standpoint. Drafting Cody Ford, who Adam and I were huge fans of in the draft as well. Just how have you seen this group? It's early in the year, so I'm sure that there's still some cohesion that needs to happen and some gelling that needs to happen.
Yeah, no doubt. It's for the most part, obviously, compared to last year, it's night and day. But I do think there are times where you're having some leakage, especially from the left side, Quentin Spain, a lot of stunts, late stunts and loopers are getting by him. And it's a big offensive line, so they're not the quickest, and they want to body every guy. So when they show two penetrating D tackles and then a looper over the top, they're heavy-handed on those penetrators, those defensive tackles slanting inside to set up the looper. And what's happening is it's leaving some gaping holes on the backside of that protection. And that, of course, is creating pressure on Josh Allen, throwing Josh Allen in, you know, holding the ball. That's also not helping. So there's a few factors here, but I'd say overall, they're heavy-handed, and you'll see it in the run game too. And that's a good thing. That actually meshes well with what they want to do and hitting the ball down the field eventually. But they're heavy-handed on those stunts and loopers, and I do worry that, having watched some of the Patriots film so far this week, that Belichick can, you know, manage those type of stunts and loops to get guys wide open and right in Allen's face very quickly.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be necessarily that they're going to bring, you know, a lot of zero blitzes or anything at Allen, but based off of what we're all seeing, I think there's a very good chance that they're going to be rushing him in some way or shape or form with scheme pretty frequently in this game, just the way that the offensive line has handled that. And also the way that Allen has handled it himself with, you know, throwing hot and getting the ball out and doing all that kind of stuff. And also just recognizing a lot of the things that are being fired his way as well. Let's move over to the defensive side of the ball here. And one of the things that I think that Belichick said on Wednesday at his press conference that was probably the most telling thing, just X's and O's wise, about the Bills is that he scoffed at the notion that they were a game plan defense. He said that they are not a game plan defense, that they do exactly what they do, and they kind of do it just really well. And he wasn't insulting Sean McDermott. He was saying that they do it such a good job of what they do that he would do the same thing and he wouldn't change it up so much. So I just wanted to ask you, Eric, what are some of their core kind of beliefs and concepts that Belichick might be alluding to as like the stuff that they just do when they do it?
No, and you know, and a lot of Bills fans were kind of upset about that, you know, statement from Belichick, but it really is a compliment because it also helps his defense. You know, they're well coached. They, you know, work on the fundamentals, and everyone thinks that's coach speak, but that's what this defense is based in. And it does start with the safeties. It starts with Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde on the back end, because what they do pre to post snap really sets up the success or failure of this defense and how they disguise the rotations. Because as we know, changing the pre to post snap picture is the number one thing that a defense has to do to really get a quarterback to hold on to the ball, especially when you're talking Tom Brady. And I know he's seen everything. They're not going to fool him, but what they're going to try to do is get just enough pressure with four up front and disguise on the back end to get him to hold the ball or to, you know, create pressure to get him off the spot up the middle. That's what they're going to do. And they're going to try to do that well. And it's worked, you know, to a relative extent the last few years since McDermott and company has come in to Buffalo. But it does start with those safeties and how they disguise the coverage, just how they spin post snap and disguising that coverage on the back end.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that front four, because when I watch this team, it doesn't, you know, when obviously when Kyle Williams retired and all that, you worried about this team being able to get to the quarterback with four guys, but it seems like with this group they're able to do that. How much does that give them flexibility with the rest of the defense?
You know, it's a work in progress, I'll say, because of course it starts with the rookie Ed Oliver at defensive tackle. And of course he's playing three tech now. He's taking the place of Kyle Williams, which, is big shoes to fill, obviously, especially from the standpoint of experience and recognition, because he played mostly at nose tackle in his career at Houston. And right now he's still going through some growing pains in recognizing run blocking concepts, you know, helping stay on a combo block just long enough to keep the linebackers free. He's kind of dealing with those issues. And, you know, when attacking the quarterback, he's getting, you know, pressure on the quarterback. Don't get me wrong. He's got a QB hit in 9 hurries in 3 games. So he is creating some disruption up the middle, but it's not your typical I'm beating one-on-one offensive lineman, or I'm beating with hand usage or technique. He's really just pushing the pocket with his pure strength. And I'd like to see him add a little more nuance and technique to his game and hand usage, but that was kind of his weakness coming out. But in the end, he is pushing the pocket. Obviously, like I said, he's getting hurries and, getting quarterbacks off the spot. And it has helped early on because, the three quarterbacks quarterbacks that the Bills face in Sam Darnold, Eli Manning, and Andy Dalton are guys that want to get the ball out of their hands quickly, and they have been. Darnold got it out of his hand in 2.27 seconds. Eli Manning was in the 2.6 range, and Andy Dalton was in the 2.27 range. So they're all getting the ball out quickly, but when you're rushing for and you're getting that disruption up the middle, and they're getting their hands on batted balls, that's the big thing. Is when the ball's coming that out that quickly, that this defense has been phenomenal getting their hands up and recognizes when that quarterback's hitting the top of the drop and getting in the pass lanes. They're one of the best defensive units when it comes to that, and a lot of that is it starts up front with those front four and Ed Oliver.
Yeah, I put a play up on Twitter last night of Ed Oliver getting some pressure, and it's funny because he got pressure up the middle. He beat the guard with like a nice little stutter and go move. And then I think it was Trent Murphy was the guy that he batted the pass down. So it was kind of a combination of the two things that you just talked about. And Jerry Hughes, man, that guy is like an ageless wonder. He just continues to just be able to be awesome as a pass rusher. And has he lost a step at all in your eyes?
No, I hate to say he's underrated because he's been in the league for so long, but I think he's maybe unappreciated from a edge rush standpoint. He just continues to be disruptive off the edge, and you're seeing a lot of teams obviously keep their tight ends in and chipping on him and making him really work through double teams and sometimes even triple teams at times. And he still continues to get it done. He leads the Bills defense and pressures. He's got a sack and 9 QB hurries. So, he's still doing his thing on the outside. A couple penalties that, have hurt him. But in the end, he's still the Bills' best pass rusher. And, having guys like Murphy, Oliver, and Lorenzo Alexander play some, stand-up three tech sometimes on pass rush downs. Those guys are all benefiting from Jerry Hughes and that protection sliding to his side. So, it's been a work in progress, though. As I said at the top, I think that Bills fans want to see a little more pressure, a little more sacks and getting home. But when quarterbacks are getting rid of the ball that quickly, and you got the ultimate test this week. I think Brady's probably number one in the league in snap to attempt when it comes to holding onto the ball. He's getting it out quickly. That's a big test this week. So I'll be interested to see how the Bills can, create pressure with four and not sacrifice that coverage on the backside, but, try to get those hands up like they have been and create some disruption with, Jerry Hughes and others.
Yeah, you talked also about the disguising of coverages and kind of rolling in and out of coverages to not show that picture pre-snap. Both Belichick and Brady talked about that yesterday and how good the Bills defense is at doing that. They run a lot of that inverted cover two stuff also that I saw on tape a little bit. But what makes them, I know you mentioned the veteran safeties, and I think that's a huge part of it. Mm-hmm. But what makes them, willing to be able to kind of take those chances of rocking back and forth between coverages pre-snap and then post-snap changing it to something else?
Well, when you play a quarterback like Brady, you have to. You cannot be one-dimensional. You can't just play zone. You just can't play man. You can't just blitz. You got to mix it up, and you got to mix it up in times that they're not expecting it. And I think that's what the defense has done well in the years since McDermott's been here. I do think that it's nice to have some athletic linebackers at that second level, albeit they are very aggressive and they are very reactive, as I'm sure we'll talk about. But I think it's a veteran group on the back end. There's some good players and young players. Trey White and Levi Wallace on the outside. Taron Johnson, the slot corner, looks like he may be ready to go this week. They brought in Kevin Johnson. So there's a good mix of veterans back there. And if you think about it, if you look at Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, the safeties for the Bills, they're former corners. So basically they have a secondary that has all played corner at one point or another, inside or outside. And I think that helps them when it comes to communication and nonverbal communication, especially because they can kind of flow in and out, of coverages. And, Jordan Poyer may see that Micah Hyde bit on a run fake here and he's not over the top. So Poyer will compensate for him and know that, hey, I got to get to this spot to help deter this throw or make a play on the ball versus Brady. So it's an interesting crew on the back end. And I think, having that versatility, every team preaches it. I think on the back end, they've definitely live that up, and it's showing since that McDermott and this regime has gotten here.
Yeah, there's definitely some similarities, I think, not necessarily in the types of coverages they play, but in the versatility that they have in the secondary between these two teams. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Trey White and Stephon Gilmore as kind of your shutdown guys, and you got some really veteran savvy safeties that have played a little bit of corner. Like you mentioned, those guys have played corner. Well, Devin McCourty has played a lot of corner in his career. Here. So there's a lot of similarities. I didn't really think of that until you just kind of laid it out there. We want to talk about the linebackers as well, as you just mentioned, with Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano. And the first point I just wanted to ask you about was just about the run defense. Just statistically, they're 21st in DVOA against the run, and they're fourth against the pass. So they obviously have had a little bit of trouble based on the numbers against the run. But what are you seeing, you know, on the tape that is leading to those numbers?
As I mentioned a few seconds ago, with the linebackers, they're very aggressive. They're very reactive. When they see a guard pulling, they're going to shoot and fire their gun and get downhill. I mean, Matt Milano, Tremaine Edmonds, very athletic guys, but at times their eye discipline does, you know, get the best of them. But I will say, specifically Tremaine Edmonds, and I kind of went on a rant all week with videos on Tremaine Edmonds, and because the Bills fan base has kind of gotten down on him. They were expecting all-pro results from this second-year young player, and I didn't have expectations like that. I like to follow the development, and as you guys know, being X's and O's and evaluators, you know, progress isn't linear. You know, you're going to have ups and downs, and when you play the Patriots, I think last year was probably one of the worst games that Edmonds played. He was very undisciplined with his reads and his keys, and Tom Brady took advantage of him, especially on those play-action passes across, you know, behind the second level. But a lot of that does have to do with scheme. As I said, they're athletic linebackers, and they're asked to fill along the perimeter as stack linebackers. So they may be stacked in the A-gap, but if the run is to the tight end side and they're over front, they have to get outside and contain that run while that defensive end, who's usually a six-tech, you know, heads up over the tight end, is filling that C-gap. Those linebackers are really asked to fill along the outside, keep it inside, and contain the play. So they are asked to do a lot, and their responsibilities can be stressful when teams go to play action. And I think we saw that last year with Tremaine Edmonds. But I will say he's looked better as far as sticking to his keys. I, you know, put a bunch of videos on Twitter this past week, so if you go to the timeline, take a look at it, and you'll see that he is coming along. He's obviously not a finished product, and I expect Josh McDaniels and Brady to attack those linebackers because they're just super reactive and they control the middle of the field in this defense.
Yeah, I was curious more about Edmonds too. I mean, that was one of the things about him when he was coming out of the draft, right? Everybody was talking about how young he was and people need to be patient, and that's sort of what's come to fruition. But when you look at the Patriots with their play action, now they don't have Devlin, so that takes away a little bit of their I formation game, but there is a lot of their element to their running game or sort of run action game is sort of the jet sweep horizontal stuff. Do you see that playing into it as far as trying to empty certain areas of the field with that and then trying to take advantage of, you know, open spaces that they bring to?
Absolutely. I mean, you guys did it, you know, several times last year with Patterson. I mean, just getting that guy on the jet sweep along the perimeter with his speed, because as that jet motion or jet action receiver comes across a formation, if the Bills are in zone, they got to bump over gaps. And so not only does the linebackers have to process the flow of the play and post snap, but they have to bump their gaps, then process what's being thrown at them. So there's a lot of processing that goes on. And offenses nowadays, that eye candy is where it's at. And if you're not doing it on offense, you're not trying. So if you go to, you know, some of the Bills videos from practice this week, that they were working on that exact thing of bumping gaps as that jet or eye candy comes across the formation and then filling the run lanes, or again, you know, filling the run lanes, but then reading run to pass and getting to their zone landmarks and pattern matching principles. So that is something that the Bills did show in their practice videos in that short media time this week. So I'm glad you mentioned it. And when you have young linebackers like that, you know, the more levels and layers you add to the play pre or post snap, the more processing they have to do, the more chances are that they are going to hesitate and make the wrong decision.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned the jet motion, because I definitely remember the Patriots using that quite frequently last year in that second matchup up here. Yep. With Cordero and even a little bit of Philip Dorsett and Julian Edelman on I think they ran jet motion and actually handed it off to the guy coming in motion six or seven, eight times, something like that. It was yep, one of the.
It was high.
It was high. It was usually, you know, they handed off to that guy a couple of times a game just to keep defenses honest. But usually it's more like ghost motion where they're just sending the guy like I like eye candy. I might steal that one from you. That's a good one. You know, just as just for show. And they don't necessarily hand it off to that guy a ton. They did it more last year, obviously, because CP was so good at it. That was something that, you know, he just brought to the offense. The other thing that they did last year against the Bills, and after the game, especially the first one in Orchard Park, Josh McDaniels just mentioned exactly what we've been talking about how these linebackers, these Buffalo linebackers, are just really aggressive coming forward. And he just said that these guys are just flying upfield on the run action. And Brady was just kind of letting Tremaine Edmonds specifically fly forward on that run action and then throwing it right where he was supposed to be behind him in that zone in the middle of the field. And if there's one weakness that you can find statistically with this Bills pass defense, it might be between the numbers. That's really the only spot that, you know, and they're not bad there by any means, but it's the only spot that you can find that they are bad. Their yards per attempt actually on throws between the numbers is 6.9 allowed. And on outside throws, it's 4.4. So don't even try to throw the ball outside the numbers against this defense. But between the numbers, it's a little bit better. And is that, you know, how is Edmonds doing with kind of reacting to play action this time around, or in this point of his career, I should say?
You know, I posted a couple of videos of that, looking at some of the plays last year versus this year. And it kind of goes back to what we talked about a few minutes ago of, you know, how simple the defensive coverage is for the Bills. You know, for example, if the Patriots come out in a 2x2 set, the Bills are probably 90% going to be in quarters coverage. So if McDaniels knows that, and we saw that in that first game last year in Orchard Park, he knows how to attack that. He knows that Edmonds is going to match the running back out of the backfield, the number three receiver, and he's going to come downhill when that running back, you know, releases into the second level, and then you're gonna hit him right behind him from the slot receiver. And we saw that several times, especially on just normal dropback passes. So the defensive coverage is pretty simple, and there are ways to attack that if you know and you get the coverage you expect. But I do think that Edmonds has done a lot better sticking to his keys, not being so reactive to the quarterback. I just hope that with the emotion that's coming with this game, being, you know, at home, both teams 3-0, I hope that he doesn't let the emotion get the best of him and his eye discipline sticks to his keys, you know, albeit a running back or receiver, rather than watching Tom Brady give him a little shoulder fake and then just moving him totally out of the play and hitting passes behind him. It's going to happen, don't get me wrong, but it's minimizing that and getting enough pressure up in front of him so that you know, it doesn't connect on a routine basis. And it's going to happen. Bills fans need to be ready for that, because that is, as you said, that is something that every team is going to do. And a lot of it comes back to not just Edmonds and being young, but it's also the scheme and how much ground they're asking guys like Milano and Edmonds to carry.
Yeah, it is very interesting that they're asking. I mean, it makes sense because Milano has kind of broken out as probably a player that's played a little bit better than the higher draft pick in Edmonds throughout his first 2 years. And then Edmonds was obviously, what was he, 11th overall? So he was a high pick. So it makes sense that they're putting a lot on those guys' plate, but they are still young players. And I think we forget that sometimes about just guys in general. You know, that what is being asked of them and how much is being put on their plate young and at an early stage of their career. It's a lot to ask out of those guys. All right, Eric, that's all we had. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up in this game? I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit.
You know, I started doing some of the study of the Pats offense last night. And one thing I did notice when you looked at Brady's next gen charts, and I don't know if this is something that's always been the deal with him, because I haven't really tracked his passing distribution. But is he primarily a left-handed thrower? Like, is a lot of his throws to the left-hand side? Because I looked at all four games that he played against the Bills since McDermott's been in town from 2017. And a lot of the throws were to the left side of the field. Is that something that's a trend with him, or is that just something maybe how they were attacking the Bills, maybe trying to stay away from Tre'Davious White?
Yeah, I would say that is probably trying to stay away from Tre'Davious White. They haven't had maybe Josh Gordon is that guy, but they haven't had a guy on the outside that was worth throwing to when he was getting covered by Tre'Davious White, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, and they really have tried to stay away from that. I haven't noticed him throwing, you know, he spreads the ball around so well most of the time.
Yeah.
That he just kind of is throwing all over the field, especially when he's on his game. But I do wonder if some of that is too with Brady. A lot of the time, especially against a defense that he kind of knows what's coming and it's not necessarily going to be game planned or scripted, they might see something before the game that says, you know, this is where you're going to be looking a lot of the time, and this is kind of the matchup that we like, or the area of the field that we like, or whatever the case may be. And maybe that is playing a, you know, a role in it as well. But that's a good one. I haven't necessarily looked at that specifically, but it's definitely something that I'll look at now as they play the Bills, because maybe there's something schematically that the Bills defense is doing that is making his first progression, you know, consistently go to his left instead right. of right, or up the middle, or whatever the case may be.
Now, on the other side of the ball, this will be my last question. Obviously, you guys play, you know, a very aggressive style of coverage with your cornerbacks and whatnot. And obviously, you guys, it seems like you guys are using a lot of dime packages, almost, you know, a lot more cornerback or a lot more defensive backs on that side of the ball, especially even just against normal 11 or some 12 personnel looks. So it looks at like, you know, maybe the Bills could go to something maybe of the 10 personnel route or a 20 personnel route. It looks like, you know, the Patriots are one of the top teams in doing that and kind of going to different personnel to get, obviously, matchups. It's a matchup game. Get different guys on the field. So I'm wondering if maybe, because the Bills have shown 10 personnel looks, 20 personnel looks at the end of last year, I wonder if that's something the Bills want to do to get, you know, Patrick Chung in coverage or guys like that. Not, you know, not necessarily Chung, but guys like that in coverage, and spreading them out so that they can lighten the box, make things easier, especially in those empty formations. I mean, we always talk about that, right? The empty formations for Josh Allen, something the Bills did a lot in that, you know, week 16 game last year. Actually, it was 17 times the Bills were in empty set last year versus the Patriots, the most all year for Allen, and that was his favorite formation. So I wonder if there's a way that the Bills, and if it would work if they were to go to 10 personnel, maybe even five receiver sets with no running backs, like how would the Patriots, you know, combat that with their secondary or if their linebackers? Would that kind of help lighten the box for the Bills offense so maybe they could run up inside?
Yeah, I think that's something that is at least worth exploring, because the Patriots this year have done such a great job of getting, you know, as many guys into the box with simulated pressure and pressure over the course of these first few games. So if they could somehow empty that box and maybe force the Patriots to show their hand a little bit more, I think that would be smart. Also, we never really touched on him today, but getting Frank Gore touches, I think, is really important this game. He's sort of like the anti-LeSean in how he runs.
Yeah.
You know, but he's always downhill. He's getting those dirty yards, and he must be 100 years old and he's still good, you know.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if you can find ways to get him the ball in sort of lighter boxes, that would be really beneficial to the Bills.
Yeah, it's something that, like I said, the Bills have shown. If you guys watched the game last week, Yeldon had a 10-yard run on a little fold block to the left side of the screen, and that was 10 personnel. They showed it a ton in camp. They haven't really busted it out besides a few plays here and there, maybe four or five plays, but it's something that obviously the league is trending in that direction, and I'm wondering if the Bills, you know, hold off on showing a lot of what they have in that department. And again, they can throw in some more RPOs off that, but also lighten the box. Maybe they even get a guy like Danny Shelton, you know, off the field. And because he's a big guy up the middle that, you know, Mitch Morse is probably going to have trouble moving. So they have to use, you know, personnel groupings, as we all know, to kind of slice and dice up the middle, as you said, with Frank Gore and others. Hopefully Singletary's back, because he comes from an offense that actually, you know, is really good at that at FAU. So I like to see that personnel grouping maybe start to come into effect more as it trends around the league. And it will take, the Patriots, it'll lighten that box and force them to guard guys on the outside. Because last year, as you guys know, in that second matchup, Josh Allen's first matchup versus Belichick, they showed zero respect for the Bills receivers. Zero. They ran cover zero, literally. They were mugging A gaps, sending pressure at him. So I'm interested to see what the Bills do to kind of combat that, because if there are a lot of guys near the line of scrimmage and they're in typical 12 or 11 personnel. I think that makes things harder on Josh Allen when they want to pass. And I think it obviously makes things harder when they want to run. So I think they're going to have to do some things to, you know, scheme up versus Bill Belichick and his second go around versus Josh Allen.
Yeah, it's a great point. And to just to answer your question kind of about them playing a lot of dime and nickel and a lot more defensive backs, I think it's a couple of things. First thing is you mentioned Danny Shelton, which is a huge part of it. Danny Shelton and Lawrence Guy in the middle of that defensive line are just so difficult to move in the running game that they can stop the run with six guys, or even if it's seven with kind of Patrick Chung as like a hybrid linebacker role, that they can stop the run consistently because those two guys have just been absolutely eating up blockers. The other element of it is that Jamie Collins is just playing out of his mind, and he's so athletic and versatile that he's a linebacker, but they're able to kind of use him in a bunch of different ways, and he's able to kind of make a lot of those plays in the run game as well. And their secondary, guys like Chung and Jason McCourty and Devin McCourty, they're really good tacklers. They're really good tacklers, and they're not, none of those guys, too, are afraid to kind of get their nose dirty and put themselves into the run game and fill on the ball. John Jones, also, who's played a lot in the nickel slot role, he's not afraid to do it either. So they have a lot of guys that are willing and able to stop the run from the defensive backs, from the secondary, which has really kind of helped them be able to put a lot more defensive backs on the field. And a lot of the simulated pressures that Belichick likes to run, a lot of the creepers and even some of the five-man blitz packages that they'll throw at guys and even some of the zeros, that is all dependent on the fact that that secondary is willing and able to do so many different things, both play man coverage, play zone coverage, fill on the run, blitz the quarterback. They're able to do so many different things with that secondary that it's really advantageous to actually have more defensive backs on the field for them at times. But they've incorporated some base formations, I would say some more 3-4 base this year too with Collins back, because Collins can play, you know, a little bit in the slot as like a halfway nickel role as a Sam linebacker, which really helps them out too. And all this X and O's talk is why we have Eric on, by the way. This is we were like done like 10 minutes ago.
Sorry. I brought up, it brings up another question. I'm sorry. One last thing, because we kind of breezed over it talking about Cole Beasley. Now, who's matching up versus Beasley in the slot? Because last year the Bills had Isaiah McKenzie, which most people might have to go look him up on who he actually is as a slot receiver. And the nuance in McKenzie's route running was non-existent last year on those weak side options out of the empty formations. Now, Cole Beasley is a different animal. He's very tough cover. Say in man coverage, with obviously you guys play a lot of man coverage. Who's going to be matched up versus Beasley? Because last year McCourty was on McKenzie. And I honestly, as good a veteran as McCourty is, I don't think he matches up with a Beasley. So do you have another idea, or do you think that's what they'll roll with?
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting question. And Adam, we can both answer, give our takes on this one.
I would think it would be probably Jonathan Jones, right?
So I think the thing is, this is probably the most fascinating question I have in terms of matchup with this game. So Jonathan Jones, with a receiver like John Brown, a lot of the time they put Jones on the fast guy, right? Yeah. And it doesn't always – I know John Brown plays a little bit more on the boundary than Beasley does, but I think the biggest thing is like, let's go back to the AFC Championship game, for example. It was John Jones on Tyreek Hill the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
And they really – after the game, a lot of the players were saying, you know, we put the track boys on Tyreek Hill, you know, and we're going to take our 4-3 guys and we're going to put them next to your 4-3 guys and we're going to match that up. They all obviously, I don't know if they feel the need to double John Brown like they did with Tyreek Hill.
No.
But the call was one double Tyreek Hill a lot of that game, with Devin McCourty and John Jones is being the two guys. So that I could see John Jones taking John Brown, but John Jones is also probably their best bet against Cole Beasley.
Yeah.
So it does open. And then where do you put Gilmore also, you know? So I think that this is an interesting one. I think that what they could do, if Jason McCourty, they might open the game with Jason McCourty on Cole Beasley. And if it ends up not going well early on, because Beasley's quickness is just too much for Jason, I could see them bumping John Jones back inside and then putting Gilmore on John Brown and just telling Gilmore to just mug him at the line of scrimmage and not let him get downfield. I could see that kind of being the approach. Gilmore is definitely better off against like a guy like more like a Robert Foster.
Right.
Who's got speed, but obviously, but is more of like a bigger
straight line too.
Yeah. And whereas with John, he's a little bit, John Brown, he's a little bit more elusive and harder to cover. But I think that with Gilmore, a lot of the time when he plays guys like that, he'll just get in somebody's grill and just not let him go anywhere.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, he can lock down for sure.
Yeah, and he's like just the bigger guy. That's what he did against like a Robbie Anderson, for example. It's just, I'm just, you know, you're not going to get more than, you're not going to just extend jam you all the way down the field, and you're just not going to be able to get off of me, and I'm just going to smother you. And that, I think, could be an approach that they take with John Brown if Cole Beasley is giving them all sorts of trouble because of his quickness, and John Jones is probably the best bet for that. But that, I'm really, that's like kind of what I'm looking for first, you know, couple of series of the game, like who's on who, will be really fascinating to watch, because they're going to want to play a lot of man, I would think, so that they can bring some man pressure at Josh Allen. So that's going to be kind of you know, who gets who is going to be very interesting.
You know, what I love about this game, to wrap it up, is the fact that you always hear coaches, you know, talk about how do you beat the Bill Belichicks, how do you beat the Nick Sabans? Well, you do start to do things that give their, you know, defenses or offenses trouble. You know, Nick Saban, he's always had trouble defending spread mobile quarterbacks, as has Belichick for that matter. Yeah. So now the Patriots have a guy in Josh Allen who kind of fits that mold, and he's a big guy, as Belichick alluded to, being, you know, part running back and whatnot. So you have a mobile quarterback, but you have a mobile quarterback that has a big arm. Obviously, he's young and he's going to, you know, try to confuse him as far as processing goes. But you also have guys like you mentioned, Cole Beasley and, you know, John Brown, that are running basically the same offense that the Patriots obviously run. And now the Bills defense has seen almost the same type of offense week, you know, day in and day out at practice. So I hope that it does help and, you know, how they defend Brady and that offense. And I just think it's a fun matchup. It's probably one of the better matchups between these two teams in recent years, especially with 3-0. And I'm glad it's, you know, this first matchup between the two is at home, because I think the Bills will need this crowd. And hopefully they are able to slow down Brady early enough so that he doesn't get that lead and just really take the crowd right out of it. Because if he takes the crowd out of it and they get up early, it's going to be a long day for the Bills.
Yeah, the Patriots are a big team. When they win the toss, they like to defer to the second half. I wouldn't be shocked if this is a game where they actually pick to receive if they win the toss.
Hands down.
Because getting in front of Josh Allen and forcing kind of the weight of the world on his shoulders to come back against Brady is probably, I would think, is what Belichick would like. You know, ultimately is to play this. Yeah, you know, everybody likes to play with the lead. But I think that in this game in particular, putting all the pressure on Allen to actually be a pocket passer and beat you with his arm is going to be big. And last year, you know, I think that Allen is better right now suited to take on the Patriots than Mitchell Trubisky was last year. But I'll never forget Belichick saying on the sideline, and one of the mic'd up things that they did with the Patriots, just don't let the guy run because he's not going to beat us as a passer. He said that directly about Mitchell Trubisky. And I think Allen has a little bit more capabilities as a passer, but I do also think that this game, if you give Allen the ability to kind of do all of the things and not just pass the ball from behind, it does obviously make it much more difficult for the Patriots to defend him than if he's just trying to throw the ball down the field to beat you. So I think that's probably where the Patriots will start. Erica, this was awesome as always. Yeah. And I'm very glad that we tacked on this extra 15 minutes here to talk about some other stuff, because it was fantastic. Where can people find you again? And if you got anything you want to tease, anything in particular that Patriots fans should read before the game on Sunday too?
Well, I run cover1.net. It's Bill centric. I do most of the breakdowns for the site. Most of my stuff is, you know, behind a paywall, but there's a lot of good Bill stuff, whether it be commentary, X's and O's and stuff like that, that we do put out for free. I write for the Athletic Buffalo. If you want to check out, you know, Dawson Knox, article I did last week, kind of showing you his all-around game, you can check that out. I put that out early this week. And then I just finished a video before we went live on Tom Brady's touchdown to Philip Dorsett, you know, counter action duo, a play action pass that he snuck it behind Tremaine Johnson because Johnson was he thought that it was a counter duo run, and he came downhill, kind of got he took the cheese, as we'd say, on that run, and then Edelman to the flats where Brady hit behind him. So I got a video on that coming out because last week, as you guys know, versus the Bengals, the only runs that Joe Mixon broke off were those counter action duo runs. And so if the Bills are undisciplined, we talk about the crowd and the emotions of this game. If Tremaine Edmonds, Milano are undisciplined and they come downhill to overcompensate of not being able to stop that run the first couple weeks against Barkley and Mixon, Tom Brady is just going to hit, you know, hit those passes behind him, as we talked about. And that video will be dropping here in the next hour. So be on the lookout for that. And again, thanks for having me on, guys. This is always, again, this is my favorite podcast to come on because it's all X's and O's. We could do this for hours, right?
Yeah, I know. We really could. I know. And we're going to do it again when the Bills come here and we play again, which I hope that, you know, I think the fun thing about it for Patriots fans, I think a lot of Patriots fans are sick and tired of hearing about how bad the AFC East is. And how it's such a cakewalk for the Patriots every year. So in all honesty, I think that it would be fantastic for the Bills to keep this going. I know a lot of Patriots fans probably don't want them to win on Sunday, but you know, in general, when the Bills come back here at the end of the season, I think is it week 16 or 17? I know it's one of those 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be for the division. I think that you know, maybe the Bills are not quite there yet. But if the Bills are 10-6, 9-7, and at least are, you know, making some noise, yeah, that would be, you know, I think it would really be welcomed by a lot of people here, because then we can finally stop hearing about how the Patriots just get 6 free wins every single year against the rest of the AFC East. So we will definitely have you on again it's going to be a couple of months now from sure. Now in December. But Erica, thank you so much. And we always love to have you on, man. And we'll do it again soon. And Adam and I will be back next week to recap this game that we just broke down so beautifully for you all. And we will recap the Patriots and the Bills next week. And then we're on to Washington, D.C. Adam, are we going to see Dwayne Haskins in D.C.?
I want to. And as somebody who's spent a lot of time in that area, I just don't want them to be terrible anymore. So I would like to see Haskins, and we'll see, but I don't think we will. I think they're going to keep rolling with Keenum, but we'll see.
Yeah, we got the 42-year-old here, and in the next 3 weeks we could see Josh Allen, Dwayne Haskins, and Daniel Jones. So that'll be fun, and at least an element of you know, youth movement and all that kind of stuff. But until then, signing off for Adam Kirchin, I'm Evan Lazar. Thanks once again to Eric Turner. Until next week, thanks for listening.